are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, to your pure word, knowing it's the only source of life until we get to see your face. Please, Lord, touch our hearts. Help us as we read it. Father, without you, we can do nothing. So please, we need your power. We need your help this morning. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. From verse 19 to 21, you have 17 works of the flesh. 17. If you want to identify the works of the flesh, this is the list. And it says at the end of verse number 21, it says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean if you do these things, you're not saved. The word inherit means you have something to look forward to that's being given to you. No, you go to heaven by placing your faith in Jesus because he died for your sins. But a Christian that lives in the flesh and doesn't say no to the flesh, all they are is saved. They have no inheritance. They lose what they could have had when they get to heaven. They have no inheritance in the kingdom of God or what God could have given them or what they could have earned. For a Christian to grow in grace, our passage this morning, my text verse is going to be verse 23, but it's kind of good to look at the whole from 16 to 24 here. God tells us the works of the flesh. For a Christian to grow in the knowledge of Jesus and in grace, to grow spiritually, one of the most basic truths to understand is that there is a part of you that is not spiritual and is actually fighting you from being spiritual. That's important to understand. Once you get saved, look, being a Christian is simple. Getting saved is simple. Living the Christian life is hard, not difficult. It's like using a shovel. Basically, all you need to do to use a shovel, it helps if you know which end to use, right? Okay? But beyond that, the rest of it is work, right? But everybody can figure it out. Being a Christian is the same way. It's not complex to be a Christian. It's hard work. It's hard work. I'm glad being saved is simple, but being a Christian is hard work. God teaches us then, he teaches us about the works of the flesh, and then look at verse 22, and I just want to point out a few things before we dive into this. It says here in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. The first thing I'd like you to notice is that the word fruit doesn't have an S at the end of it. It says the fruit of the Spirit is these nine things that are getting ready to be listed. Let's look at it. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These nine qualities are the fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit. That means when you walk with God, like it says, do y'all see verse 16? Watch this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, once again, capital S, Holy Spirit, ye are not under the law. So I'm going to draw some conclusions. Ready? If you're led of the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit of God, then you will do all nine of the traits, not just one. You can't say, well, I have peace in my heart, but I just don't love so-and-so. Then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You can't have one of the... It's not fruits of the Spirit. You either have all of them or you're living in the flesh. Let me re-illustrate this. This is important to understand. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, when you're led by the Spirit of God, when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you love all people. God gives you that love. You have inward joy because of what God's done in your life while you're loving all people. You have the peace of God regardless of what's going on the outside. You have long suffering. Listen, or the ability to put up with people that irritate you. That's the word long suffering. You can suffer long with what irritates you. Look, all of us have traits that could irritate each other. But our ability to put up with each other is dependent on God. As I yield to... Look, I know I can get on people's nerves. I get on my wife's nerves. Amen? But my wife and I can love each other, and we're one flesh, and we can put up with what irritates us as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen? I hope my wife doesn't have to have a lot of long-suffering. Amen? But I'm sure she has to have some. Amen? Now, that also talks with us. When you look at all of these traits, long-suffering, what's next? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're also gentle with people. You're not harsh. You have goodness or the ability to help others and serve them. You have faith, or your trust in the Word of God influences your decisions. You have meekness, or you see everybody on the same level, not up or down. You don't look up to people and you don't look down to people either if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Just one more. You also have temperance or self-control over your flesh, and you control your flesh rather than your flesh controls you. That's all nine traits. The fruit of the Spirit is nine qualities. You don't have one minus the other eight. You don't have three, but not the other six. When you walk in the Spirit, the fruit is nine qualities of a Spirit-filled Christian. That's important to understand. I've heard people talk about, well, I have this, but not this. Brother, look, none of us are what we're supposed to be, and the only way I can be what I need to be and what God wants me to be is if I yield to God. I blow it in every area where I don't yield to God. I don't have enough love to love you with. I have enough love for me. That's all I'm naturally selfish. I'm naturally self-centered. But if I love you, it's because God gives me the love. Amen? If you do something and you express your love to me, it's because God loved through you. Amen? If we love each other, it's because God helped us. As we yielded to God, He gave us that. But do I have what people need? No. None of us do. The fruit of the Spirit is these nine things. You take peace. Let's take peace for a minute. Let me just think of this. Now let me think of the opposite. When you're stressed, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you were, you'd have peace, right? You see how I'm taking the opposite? How about this? Let's take joy. When you're depressed, look, all of us get depressed. You have to learn to deal with it. Problem with depression is when you start having a pity party, when you start liking it and you don't let people encourage you, that's wrong. That God isn't leading you to do that. You are leading you to do that. If you have the peace, if you have the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let's take the word long-suffering. Ready? I just tried to describe to you what it is. When you're irritated with people and everybody frustrates you and you're angry with so-and-so and you can't stand so-and-so and I hope so-and-so isn't here in church today and boy, if they are, I hope they don't sit by me because if they do, they're going to ruin the whole church service. Can I tell you something? It's helpful if I, as a Christian, understand I should never think that way. If I am, something's wrong here, and I need to get right with God. I'm not yielded to the Lord. I'm not walking in the Spirit of God. Look, everybody, we can all irritate each other, but our forgiveness and our understanding, amen, it has to be, we have to be Spirit-led. Let's do one more. Let's take the word temperance. It's a quality of the fruit of the Spirit. When you're out of control, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with your life at that time. Look, every man has a temper. I don't know a man that doesn't. Look, if you don't get angry at some things, you got tired blood. Amen? But every man is also supposed to control himself. A man is never supposed to be out of control. I've heard of people throwing things, putting holes in walls. That's out of control. And the Holy Spirit is not controlling you at that time. I make a stronger statement. It's because you don't want Him to. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit. Listen, we're all supposed to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that those 9 qualities can be in our life. But when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the only reason you aren't is because you haven't yielded or surrendered or asked the Holy Spirit to fill you. Each one of these traits of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we could study each one. This morning, I want to look at the first word in verse 23. Look here, it says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. The word meekness is what I want to look at. The word meek, we don't use it a whole lot, so people, we hear it every once in a while, but we don't use it in our day-to-day language. So people get confused about it. If you'd like to write down a definition for the word meek, it means gentle in spirit, courteous, and kind. Now, I'm going to contrast some words this morning because I really want you to understand the word meekness, because God says this is a quality I should be able to recognize in my life and work at. So for me to work at it, I need to understand it. The word meek, it means gentle in spirit, courteous, and kind. I'm going to give you one more thing, but let's talk about what the word it's confused with. A lot of people say meek, or they'll confuse it with the word humble. Everybody watch this. Meekness is my attitude towards you. Humility is my attitude towards God, that I'm willing to see myself like God sees me. I don't humble myself before people. I'm supposed to humble myself before God. I kneel before God. I accept He's the King. I'm the beggar. He's the Father. I'm the child. That humility that says, God, you're everything. I'm nothing. Humility is this way. Meekness is my attitude towards people. Your attitude. In other words, think of it about this way. Meekness is horizontal. Humility, right, is vertical. So that probably is the biggest difference. People get the words confused. And let me give you one more thing that'll help you with meekness this morning before we start looking at it, because I'm going to show you some Bible illustrations. Meekness, if in all the Romance languages, what I mean by that is French, Spanish, and Italian, the languages that come from Latin are called Romance, okay? I don't think so. I think the French stink, but that's not romantic to me. But the Romance languages, the word meek, write this down. It means like flowing water. Like flowing water. And I'll show you what that means here in just a second. So I'm giving you a little of the history of the word because I really want you to understand it. The word meek means like a flowing brook. When you go past a flowing brook, and, you know, every boy loves to skip stones. I remember we couldn't pass a pond without you. Then you do look for what? Flat stone, and you got to skip a rock, right? And then you got to count it and see who can skip it the most. But no matter how big of a rock you throw in that rippling brook, even if it's a big one, it'll splash. Little one, it splashes, and then the ripples eventually absorb it, and it keeps on flowing. That's what the word meek means. Your ability to take a hit and keep on going as if nothing happened. That's meekness. That's meekness. That's why the word means like a flowing brook. Like a flowing brook. Or like flowing water. Jesus was meek and gentle because He was filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back here, but go to Psalm 18. I want you to see something. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit above measure in John 3:34. But the Lord Jesus was not weak, Meekness is never weakness. Look, humble people, just because you're humble towards God doesn't mean you're a doormat for everybody to step on. Your ability to absorb hits and keep on going has nothing to do, it doesn't mean you say yes to everything everybody asks you. How about this? Next time somebody asks you something, can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? How about saying, let me pray about it? If God tells you no, I want you to do this instead, it's okay to tell people no. Being humble towards God or meek towards people doesn't make you, I love that statement, a doormat for everybody to step on and wipe their feet on. And if we aren't careful, because the way the world uses it, if you're meek or if you're humble in the world's eyes, they look at you as a weak noodle that doesn't stand for nothing. And you're like a spaghetti noodle that sticks to the wall if you throw it and kind of creep down. And your view, Jesus was meek. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. But Jesus wasn't weak. Jesus wasn't a doormat. Jesus was a man's man. So being weak, what I want you to know this morning, meek has nothing to do with being weak. It takes a very strong individual to humble themselves before God and to be meek towards other people. We're going to look at that this morning, but the verse I wish, as I studied this, this verse stuck out in my mind. Look what King David, the greatest warrior in the Bible, said. Psalm 18, look at verse number 34. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Look at verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And look at the last part of that verse. And thy gentleness hath made me great. David was a man's man, killed many people, hand-to-hand combat, sword within 2 feet. He watched the light go out in many men's eyes. God, you've taught my hands to fight. But when it comes to dealing with your people, your gentleness has made me great. What a verse. In other words, I'm glad. I'm glad you know how to fight. I'm glad you know how to defend yourself. But how you deal with other people is how you submit to God. Amen? And when you care about how you come across to other people, in other words, everybody doesn't have to shake when I come in the room. Amen? Because I'm the loudest person. I'm in charge here. That's not. David said, thy gentleness is what makes me great. What a verse. What a verse to think about. This morning, meekness means like flowing water. One more thing, the ability to be level. In olden days, now we've got these straight levels with little bubbles in the middle. But, you know, before they could take tubing and fill it with water, they'd mark it, put it on the thing, and then here, and then they could level it. They would level it with a tube full of water, because water's always level, isn't it? Same thing. Meekness means level. It means like water or flowing water is always level. So, now that we understand what the word meekness is, meekness is the ability to take whatever's thrown at you and just keep on flowing as if it never happened. All of us have taken some blows and had things hit us as we've tried to live for Jesus. And if you haven't, it's going to. It's going to happen. There are some people right now that are out of church altogether because of something that happened. They turned their back on the Lord and quit. Then there are also people who have kept on going through the hard times. When you quit on the Lord and others keep on going, wait a second, it's not because what happened to you never happened to them. The reason they're still going for the Lord is their meekness, their ability to take a hit in life, a disappointment, a heartache, and keep on going. And we're going to look this morning, we're going to learn that's supernatural. That doesn't naturally happen with anybody. First thing I do if I'm hit in the stomach and it's unexpected is first thing I do is I double over, get the wind knocked out of me. That's natural. But to absorb it, keep on going, that's supernatural. That takes help. Amen? That takes help. I would love to tell everybody this morning. If you'll just keep coming here to our church, No one's ever going to offend you or speak to an unkind word to you. There'll never be a misunderstanding between you and somebody else in church. From this point on, if you'll just keep coming to church, everything that everybody does is always going to be what you feel they should have done. Look, that's not likely going to happen, and it probably has already not happened. Amen? It's not reality. Everywhere you go in life, there's bumps, there's misunderstandings, there's hits, there's heartaches, there's offenses. Take something simple like a vacation trip. I remember when I was a kid, we were getting ready. We'd go to Kansas once a year, and my dad would try to go twice, and man, I always look forward to Christmas in Kansas. And so we'd leave Michigan. It was 18 hours every Christmas. I remember me and my sister, we'd always look forward to it. I remember the year that blizzard came. We got ready to get in the car, and snow was building up outside, and Dad just said, "We ain't going this year." My sister and I remember we just cried. We wanted to see Grandma and Grandpa. We wanted to see aunts and uncles. Disappointment. Something simple like a vacation can have disappointments with it, let alone along the trips. How about this? In your pursuit of a career, your pursuit of a paycheck, a simple trip to the restaurant. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would you let the Lord do for you in the service of Jesus as you try to be a Christian? Would you let Him do for you what you let Him do for you in the pursuit of other things? You put up with hard times when you go other places, but when it comes to the Lord and doing spiritual activity, you don't expect opposition? It takes meekness. It takes meekness. God wants to help you keep going for Him, but you have to let God help you. You have to let the Lord help you. Take your Bible, go to Numbers chapter 12. Watch this. Numbers chapter 12. Let's look at the first picture in the Bible towards meekness here. Let's show you meekness in action. Numbers chapter 12. You've got Moses and his sister Miriam and Moses' brother Aaron. You have three siblings that are now upset with each other. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Fourth book in your Bible. Fourth book in your Bible. Look at chapter 12. And when verse 1 hits, you've got two brothers and a sister. A brother and a sister are attacking Moses. So you've got family problems here. Let's look at it. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. If you ever wondered how come it said that twice, if you were reading it, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married." Moses married an Ethiopian woman? Start reading. "For he had married an Ethiopian woman." I guess he did. Amen? If you're wondering, it says it twice there. How come it says it twice? Moses married an Ethiopian woman? Yes, he did. So the idea, verse 1 first hits you this way. The idea of someone freaking out because someone married someone who doesn't look like them is not a new thing. It's been around a long time, for thousands of years. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying?" I'm saying, here's the story. Moses, who is not a black person, married an Ethiopian that was most likely a black person. You say, "Are you sure every Ethiopian person is black?" I don't know. Ask Brother Eric. He'll tell you. Brother Eric, he's from Africa. Do you know any Ethiopians that aren't black? No. When the Bible says there she was from Ethiopia, he's saying a Jew married a black person, and his brother and sister didn't like it. Now, wait a second. This happened, right? This is 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. Let me just stop and say this. The hardest part of any interracial marriage is the family strife. Isn't that what it caused here? Somebody said, I think it's wrong to say you cannot interracially, you cannot call that a sin. Moses, God didn't call it a sin. It caused family problems, didn't it? And I can say as a pastor, I don't think it's sinful. The only person that was supposed to marry the same nationality that it was a sin not to was a Jew. How come? Because the Messiah was coming through the tribe of Judah. God said, nobody, if you're a Jew, you're not supposed to marry anybody. That doesn't apply to us. I can say this, based on Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, interracial marriages have always and will always cause family strife. to some degree. Some cause more than others. But people who want to hit the interracial issue, I don't like. I think if you need to be fair. I know we're not. This isn't the sermon this morning. But I don't think you can be against interracial marriage if it's not your preference, but you're for interracial marriage if it's. You understand? Okay. Let's take something different. Can a Mexican person marry a Chinese person? I think so. It's fine. My thing as a pastor is what I push for is when somebody gets married is I think the young people need to submit to the mom and dad. And if both parents are happy, guess what? All systems go. But when parents aren't happy, you understand? Then you got a problem. That's the problem here. But this is not sin. Everybody understand? I know we're in the South, but everybody needs to... Bible, right? Bible. Let's keep on going. Verse number 2. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken by Moses? This is Miriam and Aaron. Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So Miriam and Aaron are angry with their brother and say, he thinks he's a man of God. God speaks to me like he speaks to the preacher. Stinking, and they're all upset because their brother married an Ethiopian woman. So now they're criticizing the man of God. And then it says, and God heard the criticism. Keep on going. Verse 3. You gotta notice this. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So this is, in God's eyes, Moses is the meekest man on the face of the earth at this time. Nobody is like Moses and has this quality mastered to the point where no matter what comes his way, he can take this hit and keep on going as if it never happened, and he's about to illustrate it. But God points out in his word, one of the greatest qualities of a good leader, or Moses, was, this is the meekest man on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now you know at this time, they just got done griping against Moses. You know at this time, they're thinking that they're right, all right? And they're probably thinking, yeah, God just called all three of us into the tabernacle. He's going to show Moses a thing or two. Yeah, wait till we get in there. This is going to be good. Don't you think that's probably what they're thinking? They just told Moses off. Watch what happens. It says here, look, because they know their opinion is unquestionable and they've already posted it on Facebook and Instagram. I'm glad you're listening this morning. If you need help on that, I'm not even going to try. Verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Now they're thinking, see, now all three of us are here. God just called Miriam and I. Yeah, he's going to reward us for standing for Hebrew supremacy. Did you catch that? Okay, did you catch that? They're thinking, watch what happens. Verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. They're thinking that they're going to get a reward. Verse 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. How come God does that? Because there's no Bible yet. Everybody understand? There's no Bible yet. Then it says here, verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. And don't you think Miriam and Aaron's face just went, uh-oh. Everything just went dark. My servant Moses is not so. Look what God said about him. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. I have those words, white as snow, underlined. Watch this. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Everybody understand what leprosy is? It's a It's an infectious, contagious, deadly disease. It's a horrible way to die. You collapse from the inside out. Your body parts. Your nose falls off. Your ears fall off. Your finger. Now she is totally covered. She's white as snow. Totally covered in leprosy. It's kind of like this. Oh, the Lord, I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven, so let me preach for a second. I can't help but think if God said, oh, you got a problem with him marrying a black woman? Is that white enough for you? Deal with it. Pretty stout, isn't it? Pretty stout. Look what happened in the next verse. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord. This is his brother speaking to Moses. I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Verse 12, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And verse 12, here's a picture of meekness. Ready? Verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. What a story. And God healed her. God took away the leprosy. Just like that. Listen closely. Moses is able to immediately pray for the people that just criticized and insulted him. Right? You think you're such a big shot. You think God only speaks through you. God talks to us like he talks to you. Moses is willing to pray for the people that just tried to destroy his ministry and his reputation. Moses has just been genuinely and deeply hurt by members of his own family. And watch this. Once they started spreading this in the camp, nobody would have questioned it because it comes from his family. Well, if his own brother and sister don't like him, right? Well, then I can't stand him either. He's probably, yeah. Nobody knows him like his brother and sister, so if he's that big of a jerk, I'm sure he's a bigger jerk. I ain't following Moses. They almost caused the whole camp, all 3 million Jews, to rise up and kill Moses. That's what they were doing. His own family's saying this about him. Everybody see that? And the moment Moses is asked to pray, Moses, what a picture of meekness. Aaron says she's got leprosy. Please pray to God for her. And without one trace of bitterness and without a hint of resentment, without Moses saying, couldn't Moses have just said, nobody would have blamed, well, you got what you deserve. He didn't even push it back in their face one time. Please pray for Miriam, she's going to die. Lord, please. What? That is meekness. Can you keep on going for God? What a blow he was just dealt. And yet the water kept on flowing as if nothing happened. What a picture of meekness in the Bible. When somebody says to me, Pastor, I just need to tell you what they said. Let me preach this morning. It shouldn't matter what they said. Watch this. If they said something bad to you, that will not be the last bad words that have been spoken to you before you go to heaven. Amen? If it's not them, it's going to be somebody else. It never stops. It shouldn't matter what was told me. It shouldn't matter what they said or what they did. What should matter is me being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God so I can have the fruit of the Spirit and I can be meek and I can take the hit and keep on going. And that's not especially for the pastor, that's for every child of God.
Amen.
If you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, God, look, whatever comes your way this week, I don't know what tomorrow holds or what next week holds. I do know this, a gut punch is coming sometime and your ability to take it is your ability to yield. God, please help me. And God will help you keep on flowing like nothing happened. Let's look at another one. Go to 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel. Go to 2 Samuel 16. We're looking at meekness this morning. It's a quality that every Christian has dependent on how much they're yielded to the Holy Ghost of God. How much they're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. God can give you this supernatural ability to be hit or something thrown at you. You absorb it just like the brook does, and then you keep on flowing. 2 Samuel chapter 16, the rebellion's in full swing. David has now left his throne. He's leaving the city, and his son Absalom is leading the rebellion against his father. David is now depressed, And look at verse 5, 2 Samuel 16, look at verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David. This is the king. And at all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So David's taken the men that are loyal to him. And there comes out Shimei. You blankety blank stinking, I mean throwing stones, stinking, murderous. Look at what he said. Look at what he said to David. Verse 7. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial or the devil. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Now, this is bad for Shimei to be throwing rocks at the king, cussing, got your just deserts, stinking murderer. Shimei is not just cussing David, he's lying. God did not deliver the kingdom of David into his son Absalom. Absalom dies at the end of this story. Shimei is not only cussing and throwing stones, these are bald-faced lies that he's telling. He's lying about David. He's doing that from a distance, throwing it, and David didn't kill Saul. You bloody man, you want to kill Saul, the other king that was before you? David didn't kill Saul. God let Saul die. David had two times where he could have killed Saul, but instead he cut off his skirt, said, I'm not touching God's anointed. So Shimei is just lie after lie after lie, and watch how David responds. Verse 9, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Here is meekness. Watch David's response. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? I have these words, these are important words. Let him alone. And let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Verse 12, and it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. God wants him to do this, let him do it. And God will bless me for responding rightly. Could David have had Abishai go over there and cut his head off? Yeah, take his head off. Do it in slow motion. Sure he could have. He said, just stay put. That's meekness. When he could have had his head cut off. Don't you think that takes self-control? He didn't do what he felt like doing. He said, I'm just going to take it that God's in control. And if God told him to do that, God wants me to respond. That's meekness. The ability to take a blow and to keep on flowing as if nothing happened. Can I tell you this morning? Well, let me just point out one more thing to you here. Watch this. Look down at verse 14. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. This is why Shimei is still throwing stones at him from a distance. And they refresh themselves when the whole band is getting cursed and stones thrown at them. Child of God, that teaches me this. David and his people found refreshment when someone was lying and cursing about them. And rocks being thrown about them, and yet they surrendered, they yielded to the Lord instead of the hateful crowd. That makes me think of this, 1 Peter 4:19 this morning, wherefore let him that suffers according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There has to be a yielding. David did such an amazing job. God gives us this in the Word, just let him alone. All I have to worry, I can't control what others do. I can control what I do. And if I respond right, God will bless me for it. Amen? He's got his own sin to deal with. Shimei dies a nasty death later on. Judgment comes on that. God, nobody does wrong and gets away with it. But David said, leave it alone. You focus on you. Amen? You be meek. You take the blow and keep on going. Can I tell you this morning? You can either go home sour because of what someone said to you, or you can come to church sour because of what someone said to you in your home. Listen, or you can get your heart full of Jesus and be refreshed in the morning just like they were. Just like they were. This world is not ever going to stop cursing and throwing rocks. Jealous people are never going to stop trying to cut your legs out from underneath you. But you have to keep flowing with Holy Spirit meekness. The only way you can keep on going and not be hurt is by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I know we don't... I wanted to take a word this morning. This is a quality that a Spirit-filled child of God has. It is something we're supposed to work on. I realize you could do your own Bible study on each one of those words, love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. But if you look at the word meek, what does it mean? I don't think I'm supposed to work at my meekness. I'll be truthful with you. I think I'm supposed to work at yielding to the Holy Spirit, and then God helps me be meek. Just like I don't think I have to, every time I'm around you, I don't think I need to think, love them. Love them. I do think when I'm around you, I'm supposed to think this way. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Do what God wants you to do. And God will love you and give you peace through me, whatever, just like God would bless others through you. All you do is you focus on the Lord and God gives you what you need. Amen? God flows through you to other people. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you, watch, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. So I use this verse to say Paul treated the church members at the church of Corinth. Yeah, 1 and 2 Corinthians, that's the church at Corinth. He treated them with meekness. Paul learned that meekness from Jesus. Now look at how he showed the church members meekness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. This is very tough and hard to do. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't leave me alone to live the Christian life in my own strength and in my own energy. When Jesus saved me, He gave me the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is 9 traits or attributes that you have access to that He gives you if you let Him fill you. And I don't possess any of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I've already said this morning, God loves through me. God gives joy through me. God gives peace through me. I am not the source. I am a conduit. I'm a pipe through which it flows, just like you are. The Holy Spirit allows you, I love this, to do as the Lord did for us. We are able to keep loving people, not because they reward us or pay us back, but because that love comes from God. You become, the more I love, the less I am loved. Most of us don't love. Most of us trade. If I'm nice to you, you're nice to me. If you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You understand? You give me something, I'll give you something. That's a trade. Love says, I'm going to help you no matter what you do for me. The purest form of love, Brother Hiles used to say, is a newborn baby in a mother's arms. She will do everything for that child, and the child can do nothing for the mother. That's the biggest, purest picture of love that we probably have on the earth. Most of us don't love. We trade. Do you understand? Here, this is true love. God's loves because God is love. God loved you when you were yet a sinner and you didn't want anything to do with God. God loves you, praise God, regardless of how much you love. Or isn't this wonderful to know? Even if you don't love God, He still loves you.
Amen.
In your failure, He still loves you. God gives us that ability to deal with each other like He deals with us if we yield to Him. Now, this morning, If you want to stay faithful and true as a Christian, I promise you, it's going to take meekness. It's going to take meekness. You're in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at one more statement that Paul made. Go to Galatians. Just go over one book. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to Galatians. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? I'm in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Now I'm at verse 10. You observe days and months and times and years. Okay, verse 11. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, I beg you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Watch, what a statement. You have not injured me at all. Now, let me explain it. Paul went through so much to start the churches. His perils, his shipwrecks, his dangers, his beatings. He would pour his life into a church, and then it would get involved in false teaching, and the moment he left the church, he'd watch it start going downhill. Ephesus, Corinth, Galatia, all of them. He said, I'm afraid of you. He said, I feel like I've given my life to something that's a waste. You don't ever think he ever wondered about all he was going through? About how the people would go haywire as soon as he left the church? How could he go through all of that with no injury? The Lord helped him to absorb the hurt and the disappointment as Paul yielded to the Holy Spirit. The difference between being hurt and being injured is this. On a football team, there's a hurt list. Everybody's got a hurt. An ankle that's getting ready to go. A knee that has a bad ligament in it. There's a hurt list. But if you go on the football team from the hurt list to the injured list, you don't play until you go back on the hurt list. This is what's amazing about that passage. Paul didn't say, you haven't hurt me, because the people did hurt him. He was hurt. He couldn't say, my heart doesn't ache, because his heart did ache. He couldn't say, my heart doesn't grieve, because it did grieve. He did say, you have not injured me. I'm not out of the game. I may be bleeding, but I'm still going on for God. And your mistreatment of the truth does not change my commitment to God. You have not injured or stopped me. Isn't that beautiful? What a verse. You have not, in all the pain I've been through, you've not stopped me from going forward for God. You've not injured me at all. Can I tell you this morning, everybody here has been hurt. Every one of us may likely be hurt before this day is over. But if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, you can keep on playing. If you don't, okay? If you don't, you're going to be put on the injured list. You know what? Can we go to one more place? Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 28. When you see the word meek, I want you to think, I need to yield to the Holy Spirit so I can have this quality of being hit and experiencing pain and heartache, and yet the ability to absorb it. It's going to cause some ripples, but then they're just going to get absorbed, and the stream's going to keep on flowing for God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In Matthew 21, that's the triumphal entry chapter. Jesus gets on the colt's ass, the foal of a donkey, and never been ridden before, and he rides into town, and the whole town is screaming, Hosanna! Oh, save! As he rides in on that donkey, they're laying the boughs before him and their coats in front of him, and they're praising the king. Oh, save, Hosanna. And Jesus, while he's riding that donkey, as they're praising him, he's going, I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to die for you. It says he set his face like a flint when he went to Jerusalem. So he knows 4 days later take place. 4 days pass. Now, it's Wednesday morning, and that crowd, that same crowd is screaming, crucify him! Give us Barabbas! We have no king but Caesar! And Jesus said, I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to die. The praise or the criticism and the hatred did not change his purpose. That's why Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. You won't stop me from what God sent me to do for you. And God wants us to have that same quality. That supernatural quality of meekness comes as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Then you get those nine qualities. The name of the sermon is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, meekness. Meekness and understanding. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for this truth. I wish it to be a help.